The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Central Bank of the Bahamas, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama News, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, numbers are as usual. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I know that there's a whole lot going on at home, a lot of things going on at home to talk about, whether it is how sentences are being issued in some cases, or the way the murder rate continues to climb. There are economic issues related to the cost of living a decent life in the Bahamas. Lots of interesting things to talk about, important things to talk about. As a matter of fact, some of you may be maybe you've heard of the study done by the Government and Public Policy Institute at the University of the Bahamas, talking about what it costs for the middle class to live decently in the Bahamas, and seeing that cost up to $10,000 a month. I have no doubt you have questions about that and how that was arrived at and so forth. I want you to tune in on Tuesday because we'll be discussing it with the lead researcher from the University of the Bahamas and from the Government and Public Policy Institute. This is Leslie Archer, policy fellow there. We'll talk to you, we'll break it all down for you, and you'll get all the details, all the ins and outs. It'll be very important for you to understand what is incorporated in arriving at that number. Because I know at first, for some people, it might sound alarming. For others, not so alarming, because they would, if they have any knowledge and have spent any time on these things, might know or consider that's quite possible. But Wednesday, we'll dig right into it. I'm sorry. We won't dig into it Wednesday. The following Wednesday, we'll dig into it, because we're going to be looking at something very current that'll be current come Wednesday as well, we think, believe. Very much so. We're going to start looking at it today, because I want to ask you the question today. Tomorrow, there will be elections in the United States of America. As you know, the Republican candidate for president is Donald Trump, who is the former president of the United States of America, the one who preceded Joe Biden, the current president of the United States. And he is contesting against the Democratic candidate for president, Kamala Harris, who is the current vice president of the United States of America and the first woman of color to be the standard bearer for a major political party in the United States of America, not the first female of color to run for president, but the first one to do so as the head of a major political party. And of course, there are others who are running also in this election, inclusive of Chase Oliver, who is the Libertarian candidate for president of the United States, Jill Stein, who is the Green Party's candidate for president, and then Mr. Cornel West, who is an African-American activist and professor, who is running as an independent. So there are five candidates, even though most of the focus is just on Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. There are those other candidates, and if the margins are very thin, there are those who suggest that it is possible that even third-party candidates or third candidate or independent candidates could impact the race by taking votes from one or the other of the major party candidates. And as it now stands, the polls all seem to say that things are dead heat. All the polls have been, whether somebody has a marginal lead in one state versus the other, or nationally speaking, the polls say that all of the numbers are within the margin of error. And so what that means is that the poll could be right one way or the other, or the poll could be right one way and off the one way by the same margin, and therefore it's a toss-up. It's a toss-up. In the United States of America, like in the Bahamas, as a matter of fact, with the exception of the Electoral College, you can win the popular vote for president, meaning most of the people who vote in the election are most people, most adults who vote, most adults who can vote in America do not, in fact, vote. Okay? So, in, for instance, in 2000, 69.1% of Americans of voting age actually registered to vote. And that was up by 2.2 percentage points from 66.9% who voted, registered to vote in 2018. So at last count, in the last election, 69% of Americans who are eligible to vote actually registered to vote, right? Now, that's only who registered to vote. If you take the Bahamas as an example, in the Bahamas, almost 89%, nearly 90% of people who are eligible to vote tend to register to vote. That's compared to 69%, as I quoted, in the US. Now, of the number of persons in the US who register to vote, remember now only 69% of them actually register to vote. About 47% of them tend to vote. almost 50%. They tend to vote. So half of the number that register actually vote in the Bahamas, of the number of persons who register to vote, almost 89-90%, we tend to have some 80%+ who actually vote, except for the last election when it was substantially down and uncharacteristic for us. Now, people would often say, well, who is leading in the polls in America? And this is a tricky question because, one, there is no single poll ever taken in America. There are different organizations that are doing polling, and different polls can say different things. And then what the media does in trying to do what the media does in creating stories that people will listen to and so forth, they will do polls of polls, or they will do like an average of polls, which really in truth don't really make no sense, right? Especially if pollsters are using different methodologies and polling different people from their samples, et cetera, like an average poll says what, right? And so it can be misleading. But when you do look at the average of polls, again, they tell a story, and mostly the story is the race is tight between the candidates, in particular President Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, and it could go either way. So people aren't even particularly prepared to venture a forecast, a prediction. Again, and when they try to get even deeper in these polls, they look at whether or not people are leaning one way or the other, and who those people are, whether males versus females. So you look at the gender gap, and in terms of the gender gap, Kamala Harris, according to latest polls, has a 50% margin to 40%, 41% for Trump. So she has approximately 16 percentage point gap on Donald Trump. Donald Trump, on the other hand, has a 58% to 40% gap among men. Now you say, well, then that means Donald Trump is doing better. Well, the truth of the matter is there are more women who tend to vote in the elections than men. And so if the gap for Donald Trump doesn't translate in terms of numbers, then there's going to be a problem. Then they look at some issues related stuff, and Kamala leads on abortion, on bringing country together, on looking out for middle class, while Mr. Trump leads on competent and effective, and on inflation or cost of living or the economy. So, but how those translate into people choosing ultimately to vote is yet another story. And so there are all kinds of polls out there to try to provide all kinds of predictions and all kinds of information. And then you have people who have been predicting election outcomes. I forget the name of a professor who has accurately predicted every election since Ronald Reagan, every election. He's predicted the outcome. And he is predicting that Kamala Harris will win, and he was predicting that Joe Biden would win, notwithstanding all the noise in the marketplace. He was predicting that Joe Biden would win, and he does that based on a number of very rigid metrics that he looked at. that isn't for him caught up in all the emotional, passionate things that people tend to get involved with when it comes to this election. That's what he says. That wasn't what Shivago Lang said. That's what he said. And then there is an Iowa pollster who, by the way, the professor I'm talking about is Alan Lichtman, Alan Lichtman. And he has predicted accurately. He is at American University in Washington, D.C., and he's the one who's been predicting all these polls, predicting all of these elections so accurately. And then there is the Iowa pollster who also she has been there's a pollster who has been predicting the Iowa polls with greater accuracy than anyone else. And she actually stunningly, because Iowa is not a swing state. It tends to be a very, very predictably Republican state. And that she, in her recent polls, actually had Kamala Harris up a 3 percentage point vote. And it stunned everyone, including the Trump campaign, that she has made that her polls has that leaning. And she, again, it's stunning for them because she has been so accurate. She's had one miss in years and years, she's in perfect, but it was regarded as a stunning poll coming from her. This text is, Mr. Lang, do you think that if Kamala was to win presidency, that'll open the door for female prime minister here in the Bahamas? Very good question. We'll take up that question when we come back from the break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're talking about U.S. presidential election. By the way, I'm in the United States of America. I have to be here. I'm not here for the American the presidential elections, but for other reasons. But I'm going to be here during the course of the election and be here for some while after the elections. So we'll see. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Just so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you wish to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325. Anyway, you can call us also from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We're talking about the upcoming U.S. presidential elections, which will take place tomorrow. Whether the results will be known tomorrow is a different story, but it certainly will take place tomorrow. So in the United States of America, and somebody's asked me to explain this, and I intended to explain it to you anyways, because I was saying to you that in the United States of America, as in the Bahamas, actually, you can win the popular vote. Like, you can get more votes than another candidate. So more Americans could vote for you to be president than the other candidate, but the other candidate could win. So, how's the democracy work that way? Well, it does. Their democracy works that way because that's the way their constitution has it. And I'll explain how it happens and can happen in our country as well. So, for instance, in the United States, Hillary Clinton actually got more votes than Donald Trump did in the election she contested against him. She got more Americans who voted for her. But she didn't win something in America called the Electoral College. And what is the Electoral College? So what happens is, if you get more votes in a certain state, if you get more votes in a state than the other candidate, you get assigned the votes that are attributed to that college. So it isn't just that people have voted for you and that's the end of it. Generally in the United States, it's that in each state, if you win the state, you are assigned a number of votes from that state, and it's those votes, the college votes. Don't ask me why they call it college. It's those votes that then go to the Senate. And the Senate then certifies that you are the winner because you won more of the Electoral College votes because you won more states. And what? So how does that matter? Because some states have higher, bigger weights than other states. Now, this all goes back to how far back does it go now? Anyway, let's put it like this. I'll let you know in a bit. It goes back to a time when when they were trying to make sure that states that might have more, let's call it colorful votes, I mean, colorful voters would not be able to outweigh the states that have had less colorful voters. And so they did that by assigning certain votes to states. So for instance, New Jersey, if you win New Jersey, you get 14 votes, college votes. If you win Virginia, you get 13 college votes. All I want you to do is just examine these, the history of these states and their color profile in earlier times, and then ask, and then see what pattern you pick up. Not me, what you pick up. New Jersey, you get 14 votes. Virginia, you get 13 votes. Washington, you get 12 votes. What's that one now? Indiana, you get 11 votes. Massachusetts, you get 11 votes. This, the writing is defying me here, so I'm just trying to, and so on. And you get Oregon, you get 7 votes, and Iowa, you get 6 votes, and so forth, and Utah, 6 votes, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. So different states are assigned different college votes. So if you win a combination of states, the number of which gives you the number of electoral college votes that you need to become president, which the number is 270. That's what you're aiming for, 270. So you aren't aiming only to get a majority of registered or voting Americans to vote for you. You're trying to get to 270, to get 270 electoral college votes. And you can get that by winning certain states that have heavier weights in terms of the electoral college than other states, even though those states might have more voters. Right? And that's what, and if you look at the electoral college map of the United States of America, there's something that you notice real quickly. You notice that if you painted them in accordance with how they vote, red representing Republican and blue representing Democrats, you will notice almost immediately that you can just give certain states to Republicans and give certain states to the Democrats, right? And it's predictable even in terms of the regions of the United States where these states are. So if you look furthest west, California and them, you're going to see Republican leaning, I mean, Democratic leaning, California and them, you'll see that. If you look at most of the southern and mid in between the east and west states, you'll see Republican leaning. If you look in the northern states, upper northern states, mid they're Republican leaning, right? If you look in the south, more often than not, Republican leaning. So Texas and Georgia and south and Florida now, Republican leaning. You will see that. Then as you go on the east coast of the United States, particularly the northeastern coast of the United States of America, you see Democratic leaning. So you look at New York and Maine and some of those, you see Democratic leaning. But they tend to be stable that way. And then there are those few states that tend to swing one way or the other. And they're about six or so of them. And they're the ones who ultimately determine who's going to be president of the United States, whether that's Pennsylvania or Georgia, because Georgia could swing. You know, it's Republican leaning, but it could swing as it did in the last couple. Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio. So these are the prizes where these guys are spending all kinds of time, because they know these other places, man. They can vote Republican, they can vote Democrat, but these are persuadable folks. And we got to try and make sure we catch some of those. So you can win the popular vote, but lose the presidency because you didn't win the college vote, the number of college votes that you needed. And the path is to 270. That's what the path is. Get 270. Yeah, so, so that particular piece of history is rooted in a little bit of a color coding. Let's call it like that. And I'm talking about people's skin color coding, according to people who write about these things. Says the Electoral College established in 1787. Yes, yeah. I was caught between the 1700s and 1800s, so wasn't quite sure. But 1787 said constitutional amendments have improved the Electoral College, and over time, states have altered the ways they have implemented it. Not only the ways they implemented it, some states are now trying to give the state options, the congressional, the state congressional people options as to what in fact to do, even if you win the college outright. But it says, Mr. Lang, I also learned that other than not necessarily having the popular vote, winning the presidency in the United States, it is possible to have a president from one party and a vice president from another party, both holding office at the same time. Is an extremely dynamic and, in my opinion, progressive democracy. It is possible because the president runs, they don't run as president and vice presidential candidate bound together on one vote. They don't. They vote, they run separately, individually. So you've got you're running for president, you're running for vice president. Yes, they come from the same party, and so therefore they tend to run as a team. But you'll also see in the history of America, that ain't never happens. No matter how dynamic it appears to be, it is as rigid as you could find on planet Earth with respect to anything, because it don't happen. Right? And as rigid as that is, that's actually, you may think that's nice and cute, but for governing, that could be a nightmare scenario. Nightmare scenario. I mean, I can think of 10,000 ways in which that's absolutely a nightmarish scenario. Because if you elect a president independently of a vice president, the two are not tied, and they're now governing, the vice president has every single motivation on planet Earth to undermine the president. And why not? I didn't get voted in with you, bro. And if you don't last, who gets to be president? You get to be, the vice president gets to be president. So that's a nightmare scenario. No, it's no wonder it has never translated that way. It's nightmarish. Dynamic as it might be, it's a nightmare. Now, in the Bahamas, you could win the popular vote. So you can get more people voted FNM or PLP than not, but you could still win the government if you lose the popular vote. Why? Because you could have 4,000 of 5,000 people vote in Bain Town for the PLP, right? You could have 4,000 of 5,000 people vote for the PLP in Fox Hill, and so forth and so forth in some areas you could have, so that the total number of people that actually voted for the PLP in the end represents more than voters for the FNM, except though the FNM then by smaller margins wins more constituencies. Because the Constitution does not say the leader of the party that gets the most votes in the election becomes the prime minister. That's not true. It says a leader of the party with the most members elected to the House of Assembly becomes the prime minister. So in other words, you have to win the most constituencies in order to be called upon as leader to form the government. So, and there are multiple scenarios in which you could do that without, in fact, actually winning the majority of votes in an election. Yeah, so somebody, this is C. Allen, sending me some information in which if you use the 2020 voting results, then Kamala Harris will win the election. And that can only be true if you're saying to me that the polling numbers as they stand today have her leading in those particular areas where the college votes would be for her. But if you use the 2016 map, then she would lose and Donald Trump would be president. She would win 231 college votes and Donald Trump 307, and using the 2020 voting results, you'd get 235 Donald Trump to 303 her. Yeah. And then you can play all these kinds of scenarios out. Yes, that's what I said. If the polling numbers stand as is. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care. For every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
This October, Dunkin' Donuts is brewing more than just coffee. We're brewing strength because we're stronger together. Donate at any Dunkin' location to support breast cancer awareness, and we'll match every dollar you give. Together, we're making a real difference for the Sister Breast Cancer Support Group. SIV Smile Support. When we stand together, we're stronger together. Because the Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If, again, you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. Or you can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Just another note for those of you who you have some thoughts, positive thoughts about the Electoral College and how dynamic it is. I want to read something to you from an article in the history on the history website, the history channel, the history website, where it says 5 times in history, presidential candidates have won the popular vote, but lost the Electoral College. This has led some to question why Americans use this system in the first place. Because if a democracy, think about it, the word democracy means democracy, right? Meaning people rule. If most people vote for a person to be president, why would some other system in that country be the thing that determines who becomes president? And so you think it's dynamic. So let me explain something to you that you may not have known. In point of fact, this was one of the, according to the history website, this is one of the things that was most hotly debated by the founding fathers of America. And they didn't make the decision because they thought this was the brightest idea we could come up with. They didn't make this because this is a perfect system. In fact, according to George Edwards III, who is the emeritus political science professor at Texas A&M University, end quote, it was like the founder said, hey, what a great idea. He says, this is the preferred way to select chief. Oh, it wasn't like the founders said, hey, what a great idea. This is the perfect way to select the chief executive, period. No, he says they were tired, impatient, frustrated. They cobbled together this plan because they couldn't agree on anything else. All right? That's why it happened. It wasn't a brilliant idea. It's still not regarded and questioned by some as a brilliant idea. It was because it was a compromise that they had to reach because they were tired and frustrated and impatient, according to Professor Edwards. This text says, we've been changing history. First, no history of black man winning presidency. We've seen that barrier broken. Now the one about no female president has a chance for that barrier to be broken, meaning all history are subject to change. Oh yeah. Well, everything in order to be a first, there had to have been a never. And we see very often that there are many firsts, many, many firsts. Now, will she be it? I'm not saying that. I don't know. I don't know at all. I don't know that to be the case at all. This Texas says the Electoral College was a needed compromise. I don't know if it was a needed compromise. It was a compromise they had arrived at. I mean, sometimes when you just can't figure out what to do, you do something. You know, Dr. Miles Monroe used to always say, do not let the perfect get in the way of the good. So, you know, you got to do something. You got to decide something. You have to move forward, and you're too tired and frustrated and impatient, and you don't have a better idea. So you use the one you have. That's the one they have, right? Needed in the sense that to move on from where we were, we got to do something. Yeah, okay. Say without it, they still be arguing. Could be, but who knows? Who knows? You know, what you never know by patience is what you could come to know by patience. That's the reality. And this is where many of us get stumped, right? Is we're not patient enough to see what could evolve. because we decide in our heads we might be here forever. That's what we decide in our heads. But there's nothing in reality that says that. That's just what we decide. And that's why patience is called a great virtue. And what people don't realize is, well, too many people don't realize, is that patience is not merely waiting. That's not what patience is. Patience is waiting with a good attitude. That's the difference. So when you don't have a good attitude, it's near impossible to wait. And so if you're frustrated and you're tired, well, what you can do? Man, you're going to find something to go home, go sleep. But what you're not doing is waiting on a better idea, which could be out there, which could be there, if you took the time to wait. Says, Z, I remember growing up, the PLP would win popular vote, but the UPP won election. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, in 1967, the PLP didn't win the popular vote, and the UPP did. But the PLP won, they tied a number of seats, and the independents were able to swing with the PLP and gave them the vote. So you're absolutely right. And that's why I said it what could happen in the United States of America through their electoral college could also happen in the Bahamas through the way we vote. The only difference is we are not directly voting for a chief executive in the Bahamas. We're voting for members of parliament whose numbers determine who the governor general will call upon to form the government. That's the difference. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our break for news, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316, or you can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720, or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We've been talking about the upcoming U.S. presidential elections tomorrow. It seems that people are quite timid about, in America, many, many people about predicting who is going to win, and that timidity, I believe, is based on prior predictions that said Donald Trump could never win, and he did, or Donald Trump was going to win, and he didn't. And so people are, the polls have been predicted one way, and it didn't happen that way. So people are very skittish now about predicting who is going to win. And there's some intimidation involved too, where people feel like going out there and saying, so if somebody wins, it could be a problem for you afterwards, and so forth and so forth. I have some comments to make, but let's continue on. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, Mr. Lang, I'm hoping and praying that Donald Trump and the Republican Party is able to pull this one off. And it's for a various of reasons. You know, they say when the U.S. sneezes, the Bahamas catch a cold. And when I look at his presidency and how organized things were in terms of inflation, he left office, inflation was 1.4. They had lowest record numbers in unemployment rate. When you look at persons, he had more persons who he took off of welfare and food stamps than any president in this modern era. And even though the numbers are being refuted, he says 7 million, but to take 1 million off, that's good, as opposed to putting people on welfare and food stamps. When I look at the world in general, we had world peace. There were no new wars started under Donald Trump, which could be commendable. But when I look at the far left and what are they proposing, as a conservative, I have big issues with many of the things that they're doing, because more than likely it will become a global phenomenon. Even though we are a democracy, we are a democratic country, they do have influence that they put pressure on these small developing nations to confine to their particular way in terms of where they are going. When they look at kids, as a child and father's right activist, I have a problem with children being transitioning in terms of their gender without their parents' consent. I believe in closed borders, because when you have an open border system with people coming in, it affects so many different things. It affects healthcare, it affects education, it affects the economy, you know, because you haven't projected for these type of things. All sorts of confusion. So I'm hoping that Donald Trump, it will be a red wave throughout the United States of America, and he'll control both houses, the Senate and the Congressional House. That's just basically how I feel, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You told us how you feel. I am not entirely sure where you are getting the employment numbers from in the United States of America in terms of Donald Trump's performance. When Donald Trump left office, America's unemployment rate was at 4.2%, my friend. That unemployment rate today, that unemployment rate in 2019 was 3.5%, and is today at about 3.8 or 9%. So the unemployment rate under Biden is lower than it was under Donald Trump. So I'm not entirely sure what statistics you're looking at. The U.S. Wall Street and them, if you look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and those are higher today than they ever were under Donald Trump. The economy Barack Obama left Donald Trump was performing better than the one Donald Trump presided over. So I'm not entirely sure what you're looking at. I don't know what numbers you're looking at in terms of who came off of welfare, because when you get your unemployment rate lower, bro, you're bringing people off of welfare too, generally speaking. And so I'm not entirely sure about all of that. Some of the policy issues you described, those sounded to me like Republican talking points, but you said you're conservative, and so I understand that. They sound like Republican talking points more than they sound like the actual policy positions themselves. In terms of, you talked about policies of the Democrats that you didn't like, etc. But those, again, were like your talking points. Those were like political talking points. Those were not descriptions of policies. All right. So when, if you want to talk to me about policies, you have to talk to me about policies. You can't talk to me about talking points of policies. That's like Donald Trump having a concept of a healthcare plan as opposed to an actual policy for a healthcare plan. And you were talking about concepts that didn't necessarily represent either the Republican or the Democratic side of things. But you were very clear on telling us who you wish to win, and that's your right. This text says, where are these people getting their facts from, Mr. Lang? Exactly my point. And I want to prompt you all. I mean, I'm dead serious about this. And this is not arrogance on my part. But if you call this show, you have to understand, you have to recognize that there may be some ability here to push back against your talking points. And some of you have brilliant, wonderful, fact-based propositions, and I appreciate that. But some of you, I'm sorry, because sometimes some of the things I hear some of you say about things about what you think is moral in respect to this person and next person, you cannot be looking at the issue of morality if you are looking at the way people behave. You are not as a Christian, if you are looking at morality and telling me about this, that, and the next thing, you must live in a different world than the one I live in. Different world. Especially given these presidential candidates. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, sir. I'm listening to you.
Hi, Mr. Lang. First time caller.
Hey. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
I was just about to say the same thing for the person to ask you concerning where persons are getting their facts from.
Because
it sounds like, especially the last person who called you, it sounds like he gets his facts more from a right-leaning media, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for Bahamians, it's like they should seek, like, information from sources that's not more left or more right. You agree with me?
I agree with you. In fact, I mean, it's trying to find credible information about things that you can verify. For instance, the unemployment rate is something. If you go on Macro Trends or you go on the IMF website or the World Bank website, you can get the unemployment numbers from any country.
Yes.
And they're not left-leaning or right-leaning. You can just get them. And so you could say to yourself, you know, me saying Donald Trump had the lowest unemployment rate is wrong. Wrong, because it's so not wrong. Consistent with the facts.
It's so wrong, you know. And then I think plenty of persons from the Bahamas, they think more, even though we're not all Christians in the country, they think more towards what Christians would do and think, eh? And for some reason, they truly believe that the Republican Party has more Christians and has more Christian values than the Democrats. And I think that's not true at all. You know, the history tells you the majority of Black Americans, they were Republicans, right? But then around the 50s and 60s, things changed, eh?
Yeah. Yes.
During the civil rights movement, things changed. And their voting changed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all right.
Now, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much for calling. Very good point. This is the Poynter Institute. Poynter Institute, let me give you an example. Poynter Institute asked the question, was Black unemployment better under Trump or under Biden? This is the Poynter Institute now. So not only did this metric return, and the Poynter Institute has a web page called PolitiFact. Quality is in blue and fact is in red. So they got like the Republican and the Democrat covered in the color scheme for a reason, because they are saying we're in the middle here. So not only did this metric return to 6.5%, its approximate pre-pandemic level under Biden in November 2021, but it went on to hit a record low of 4.8% in April 2023. This is talking about unemployment. not counting the peak pandemic period of April 2020 to October 2021, Black unemployment has averaged 5.86% under Biden, which is lower than the 6.65% level under Trump. But you will hear these people call and tell you all day long what Black unemployment did under Trump versus Biden or Obama. All day. This text is Mr. Lang. That was a good fairy tale that caller told. The only thing he did not say is that they all lived happily ever after. See? It says, we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, Mr. Lang. How are you doing?
Challenge. I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to input on what Cleaver Duncombe said concerning the impact on the welfare program in the United States, the SNAP program.
Right.
Just a thing. Donald Trump did have the most impact, and this is a caveat attached to this. He did have the largest impact of people moving from the welfare program in a four-year period. But Clinton had the largest gap because he took it from 14.1 million to 4.5 million during two terms. So there's an argument concerning, does Donald Trump numbers for his 4 years exceed what Clinton did in his cumulatively for two terms? Clinton is the one who brought in the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Act, which had that great impact on the role. So it isn't an unemployment number. It was those individuals on their SNAP program, what we would call social services program.
Yeah, the other thing you have to bear in mind too, though, remember, during the pandemic period, a good significant portion of which, during the pandemic period, Biden doors gave out lots of cash to people too, which would have helped lots of people, not only say even off of welfare, but to help lots of people out of poverty. But under Clinton, under Obama, with the economy of the United States rebounding as it did during Obama's period from the Great Recession and leading into Trump's period too and carrying forward, lots of people would have benefited under that economic force to come out of welfare.
Unlike those individuals that move in unemployment, the actual SNAP program actually publishes their numbers. And so when you just look, regardless how the economy is performing, when you look at what the SNAP program says happened during these periods,
But I understand so, that. But
saying regardless of the economy, it didn't impact the SNAP program and the number of people who was receiving aid. It changes those individuals who may have been unemployed but did not seek aid.
I'm not disputing that. The fact of the matter is, though, what is welfare? Welfare generally, people who are unable to care for themselves based on their economic set of circumstances. So they are programs set up to try and assist those people. We know from research that most people, if they can do for themselves, will do for themselves, which is when the economy is able to accommodate them. I didn't say everybody. Most people will come off of welfare.
No, but Lang, we're arguing two different things. I'm saying to you, this, except we don't have the record now for Biden because they will release it after the term. I'm simply saying, based on the numbers, just for the numbers of people, regardless of how the economy was doing, under Bill Clinton, he reduced it from 14 million to 4.7. And the Trump also reduced it. So it regardless of how the economy performed, it doesn't change the numbers that SNAP reports of who they have helped.
I understand that.
I didn't want to argue about whether or not how the economy performed and more people was working or not. I don't care if more people was working, it didn't change the SNAP numbers.
Understood. But my point to not you, but to these callers who try to call to attribute these things to the economic brilliance of a Biden or a Trump, I'm saying, is when we look at the economic performance under these presidents, the metrics exist to show you exactly who did what, so that we don't have to run around using Fox talking points or MSC talking points. That's my point.
Right. No, but as I'm saying, we don't. I just was saying that what Cleaver said, with the exception of Clinton, that you'd have to decipher his term, because this, the analysis I got was just for the full term of each president. But what I'm saying is I agree with you with the different talking points, but the beauty about the United States is if for anyone who wants to know the truth rather than the talking points,
they can get the
authoritative figures who provide the demographics from state level straight to the federal level.
I agree with you 100%.
They don't have to be correct. They don't have to guess. They don't have to take nobody's talking points.
And don't have to listen to Donald Trump stand up there and say, I had the most brilliant economy. I had the most brilliant.
Look at the numbers.
I had the most black people.
But let me tell you, let me just say this, like, I'm similar to Cleveland in my leaning towards the different moral values. But just from without that, I personally feel that due to the policies of taxation and other things, the Bahamas tend to fare better. No matter how slightly, under the Republicans' governance than they do under the Democrats. The problem is that we take a lot of our behavior comparative to our belief, because I believe that we say one thing and practice another, is that we take our behavior and transpose it.
First of all, there's no one who would have paid attention to the economic numbers of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas more than myself. Over the last 30 years. I didn't say somebody didn't pay as much attention, but more attention. And secondly, the best performance the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has had in a generation happened between 1993 and 2000. Who was president then? A Democrat called Bill Clinton. And the Bahamas' economy...
From 94 to 2000.
No, 93 to 2000. 93 to 2000, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And the Bahamas' economy has been, used to be, very much tied and correlated with that of the United States of America for decades. So really, it didn't matter who was president of the United States of America. However that economy performed, it positively, ours performed positively. If not, ours did not. We were very much coupled to them. It was only in the last decade that the Bahamas' coupling with the United States of America has loosened. Not broken, but loosened. So the notion that we perform better under Republicans and versus Democrats is not a notion supported by the facts. Now, in terms of morality, I have to wonder... what morality of Republicans people are talking about, or Democrats? What is the Democratic morality versus the Republican morality?
That's their practice. Remember, I said to you, practice and state.
No. I'm saying even the policy. Let me give you an example. Abortion is wrong. Let's say that's morally abortion is wrong. Let's say that that is your position. If you're a Republican, how is it possible that but abortion is wrong after 6 weeks? But not wrong before 6 weeks. Explain that to me. How is that a moral position?
Well, the Republicans, I'm saying to you, that's their practice.
I'm talking about a policy position now, because many Republicans, this is their policy position. If you commit have an abortion after 6 weeks, this is a quote, compromise. If you have an abortion after 6 weeks, that's wrong. But you could have an abortion before 6 weeks. How is that possible? But so let me say somebody has an abortion 5 weeks and 6 days and 11 hours and 59 minutes. It's wrong. But if they have it 6 weeks, that's right. If they have it 6 weeks, it's wrong. How is that a moral position? A rational moral position? Because killing a unborn child should be killing an unborn child. It should be wrong whenever you do it.
How do you take a moral position deciding that you have to have some marker?
I'm saying, I see in the Republican Party, I think during this last convention, they shift from the stance where Donald Trump was an absolutist, and the Republican Party now positions is that I think it was a Donald Trump that took the position to shirt to the side, or was it the Republican Party? I don't know which one is worse, but they did reverse that position. I think with Donald Trump was that the state should decide, and the party itself was taking the position of what it is. So, ever since coming home for the last 20 years or so, I don't follow their argument as much as they do.
It's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump who took the shift, who's now saying, right, this is his shift. This is his shift. After the women started coming after him for claiming that he was the one who destroyed this right, he said, no, what I did was I put it back to the states where everybody wanted it. So let me ask you a question, bro. You don't believe it is right to have an abortion at the federal level. You believe it's okay if the states decide it? If the states decide. So in other words, for Donald Trump, this is what Donald Trump is saying. No, what I wanted to do is make sure the federal government wasn't deciding it. So if the state government, California, adopts abortion the same as the federal government did it, I'm good with that. So is that a moral position that abortion is wrong?
Right, which again, the leadership of the party. But I think the absoluteness is those individuals within the party who take the hardcore, and I think they have become, you know, just how we have removed into the middle in the religious belief system, the United States has evolved over the years that more people, not atheists, but what do you call that word? Almost like spiritual rather than
agnostic.
Right.
Yeah.
The dynamics of the arguments have changed. I've seen that in the 20 years I've been by observing. I used to follow them more. It was in the U.S., but now I'd be like, okay, let me just see the end result. I'll see how to adjust and adapt, as opposed to being in the fight trying to argue for positions that I used to do.
Right. I agree with you because there's so many shades within each party on every issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
And absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you calling. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Donald Trump seems to be becoming more unhinged and profane by the day. I am confounded generally by his supporters, but I am especially confounded by Black people who support him and by what seems to be many Bahamians who think he's a great leader. However the election turns out, I think that Donald Trump will dominate all studies of political science and psychology in the future. I share much of your position. I'm baffled myself. Well, no, let's say it like that. I get agitated by the defense of Trump, the support of Trump, by so many, and I'm talking about by people close to me and people far from me. So this ain't about whether I like you or don't like you as a person. I have people I love dearly. Who are Trump defenders, who are Trump supporters, for whatever set of reasons, whether that is some religious view that Donald Trump is some vanguard for morality on abortion and homosexuality and these kinds of things, or it's they like his bravado, or they like that he's an anti-establishment, or whatever the reasons are, they have this liking for Donald Trump, as does millions and millions of people who will vote for him and who will support him, whatever people think of him, you know? And my fundamental challenge with Donald Trump is the way he treats people. That's the bottom line, the way he treats people. For Christian people, I always say, okay, I mean, lots of Christian people, people in the evangelical movement, loved him, supports him, prays for him, prays over him. Sometimes I think it seems like praise to him. But this is what I tell people profoundly affected me as someone who believes on Jesus Christ. I didn't say you listening to me believe on Jesus Christ. I said I do. Because you may believe in Islam or Buddhism or etc. And I am not judging you on that score. But I'm saying, this is what Jesus said. He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, in that you have love one for another. That's what Jesus said. How will they know that you are my disciples? Because you have love one for another. That's what Jesus said. And I ask you, and we are told how to treat our neighbor, not only if the neighbor is like you, or the neighbor likes you, or the neighbor supports you, or the neighbor votes for you, but if even your enemy you are told to love. Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies. You listen to Donald Trump talk. Listen, watch how he behaves toward people. And you tell me, oh yeah, that's an action Jesus would take. Oh yeah, yeah, gee, that's loving. That's loving the way Jesus wants you to love. See, above all else, leaders can be imperfect. Leaders can have policy flaws. They can have bad policies, etc. But what leaders must do is they must love people. And they must not just love the people who like them. For Jesus said, if you love those who love you, how are you any different than the Pharisees? Hmm? You have to love the people who don't even love you, who despise you, who use you. And that love means you must exercise patience with them, kindness toward them, and long-suffering, and so forth and so forth. Just examine the man's behavior. If I am here and they have to pass a bullet through the media to get to me, I'm okay with that. Of course, that's something Jesus would say. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Waffle with cheese at Burger King Nassau has never tasted so good. It's made with 100% flame-grilled beef that's juicier, topped with fresh ingredients as usual, and even fluffier buns. Get a regular Waffle with cheese combo for only $9, including VAT, and enjoy a Whopper that's bigger, better, and tastier. The only place to get your Waffle with cheese combo is at Burger King Nassau, where it's grill time anytime.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful
Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422. Oh, boy. My mind just flipped. It's not even. You can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So for me, the acid test of leadership is, first of all, this is the acid test of leadership, is your regard for other people. That's the acid test of leadership. Don't tell me you are no capable leader or good leader if you don't have high regard for other people. Okay? You have to start there. Other people cannot be your tools. They can't be things that you use for your own benefit. Other people can't be treated with disregard. Other people can't be demeaned by you. And you know, John McCain was running against Barack Obama. And an old elderly lady stood up and started talking about Barack Obama in berating ways. And John McCain said, no, ma'am. This man is running for president of the United States against America, against Barack Obama. He said, no, ma'am. He's a good man. He and I just happened to disagree on some issues. He's a leader. He has regard for other people. Michael Pintard and Rave Davis passed that acid test for me. I don't know what they do in their private life in terms of how they regard people, or because I'm not in their head or their heart, but I can see from their expression and the way they manage and handle people, they have regard for other people. They don't publicly speak disparagingly about people who oppose them and that kind of stuff. They may get in their tit for tat. But we have to have in leadership regard for other people. That's an acid test. You can't pass that. I don't care what level of competence they say you have. Warren Buffett said, give me the choice between a man with competence and with character. I'll choose the man with character because I could get competence to help that man with character. But what I can't do and what might happen to me is a man with no character but competence would rob me blind. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, we have a call on the line. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Lang.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
ma'am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well, thank you.
Okay, good afternoon. I cannot for the life of me understand some of these people. Okay, we're talking about morality. Unless it has a different definition, I don't understand how one can say that, oh, the Republican Party has the moral standards and the other party has not. I mean, what is morality to you? This man advocates for violence at every step of the way, has no regard for persons even within his own ranks. Once they disagree with him, they become the enemy within. Furthermore, we are talking about the abortion thing. And I myself had a thing growing up, understanding abortion to be, well, perhaps someone just wants to get rid of a life, as opposed to understanding now that your care, your health can depend on having to abort that child, that fetus, in order to live. So therefore, I am not in agreement with just doing things willy-nilly, but I do understand the health advantages. But look, again, Mr. Lang, let's look at it this way. Since we want to talk about pro-life and what have you, what about when you advocate for five black boys to be executed without even knowing whether they were guilty or not? But you wanted to see them dead, and you're going to tell me you for life?
Not only that, he said that when asked about hating them, he says, yes, I hate them. He says, I hate them, and maybe hate is what we need to get some things done. You hear that? Maybe hate is what we need to get some things done. And I know some people who are supporters of Trump who say, oh, shut up, find me that, man, that one too easy.
Exactly. And one more thing, Mr. Lang, before you go. What I too cannot understand, right? When you're talking about who happens to be walking the way of the Lord, I often wonder. Now, I realize here in this country, I've been listening for a while now, and I know that there are males who see Mr. Trump as this rough, tough He has this exterior, you know, of greatness and roughness and don't play and you know. But the thing about it is that doesn't make you a man. I just cannot understand the things I hear.
Mr. Larry, I'd like to say
one more thing, if you allow me, quickly.
Sure, please.
Everyone, like you mentioned, has a right to their opinion. That's what makes a democracy, right? But I would like to say to some of these males who just run after this man and think that, because as you just mentioned, you gave the facts on some of these things and some of these statistics and some of this information. It is not accurate, and so they're still spewing it and saying these are the facts. But I would just say the same thing on behalf of women, being a woman. You have a daughter, you have a wife, you have a mother. Look, let's hope she doesn't end up living in the U.S. where there's an abortion ban, and she happens to need care, and you happen to be the recipient of bad news. Think, well, how would you feel?
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is we have abortion ban in the Bahamas. Now, of course, not for the life of the mother,
exactly, so forth.
But we do have a ban. But thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you calling.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Great show. Donald Trump, to me, is insane. He says nothing that makes sense. He has no plans for America. He only refers to himself. We have people who are so religious when it comes to abortions and gay rights, but absolutely cannot see that Trump does not have any Christian values or behave like anyone who values people. He speaks so badly about others. I could never support someone like Trump. He supports violence. He thinks so much about that person, the persons who took part in the resurrection. Let me tell you all something to be clear. I do not dislike Donald Trump. I do not. I don't have bad feelings about him as a person. But listening to him and observing his behavior and conduct, having participated in and studied and understanding leadership as I understand it, it's a challenge for me. I ain't gonna lie. Is Kamala Harris the most impressive leader, or even close to the most impressive leader I've ever seen? No. But, and is she just a good leader because Donald Trump looks like the opposite of a good leader and so forth? No. I think Kamala Harris is capable. I think she has very solid economic policies that she's put forward and so forth. I think she speaks with great clarity. I think her regard for people seems exceptional to me, like Joe Biden's regard for people, like George W. Bush's, the two Bushes regard for people, like Barack Obama's, Clinton's. You know, I've seen so many leaders on both sides of the political divide in America who seem to have had such great regard for people. They certainly had great respect for their democracies. I have never seen anything in leadership at the level of the presidency that I have seen in Donald Trump. I have never. And there's a reason why so many very hard and fast Republicans will not support him. There is a reason. There is a reason. They see what I see and what so many others see. So what's going to happen more? I don't know. What do I wish happens tomorrow? I think you all know. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Lang, your host. We'll be back.
Take a stand, everybody.
Oh. Are you looking to save for a big purchase or occasion? Do you want your money to start making money for you? Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. I am guaranteed to earn interest on your money with terms ranging from 1 to 6 years. Government savings bonds are available to all Bahamians, and for as little as $100, you can start to save for your future. The Bahamas Government Saving Bond, a safe investment guaranteed. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for details.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day. Wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today. I have a text that says, do we research prior to calling the show? Do our Bahamians know the difference between Democrats and Republicans? For example, if you don't agree with LGBT lifestyle or believe in there being different rights to them, then you may not agree with Democrats because they support them. Republicans believe more in family values. All I'm saying is research the difference between the two. Well, that's a good point you make, that you should research the difference between the two, but maybe you should do so also, right? Because to suggest that Republicans believe more in family values, says who? Where's what evidence do you suggest, do you have of that? What is the family values policy of the Republican Party? And what's the family values policy position of the Democratic Party? Tell me, what family values do Democrats have that Republicans don't have, or that Republicans have that Democrats don't have? What do you mean? What do you mean by that? So you're saying that someone who believes that a person has the right to choose to be lesbian, gay, et cetera, has no family values? Are you serious? Are you very serious that you believe somebody has the right? Doesn't mean that they are right to do it, but they have the right to choose to do it and therefore should not be criminalized to do it, don't have no family values? Is that what you're saying? No, my friend, if you're gonna ask people to research, maybe you should research this too, right? Because you cannot say Republicans believe more in family values than Democrats. That's nonsense. It's nonsense talk. There's nonsense talk,
right? And let me tell you what is the biggest confirmation of your belief. Not what you say in public, you know. What you do in private. What you do in private. Now, there are gay Republicans and there are gay Democrats. There are Republicans who believe in LGBT rights, and there are Democrats who do not believe in LGBT rights. In fact, many Black religious Americans who support Democrats are not proponents of LGBT rights. That's one of the cultural characteristic features of Black people, right? Is that we generally tend to be morally, in quote, conservative. So you can't run around telling people to do research and then go around telling people Democrats, Republicans may believe more in family values than Democrats. that ain't true in practice, and it ain't true in policy. what Republicans believe in today, in the mean, the ones who are in the party today, is they believe in Michael, and they believe in Donald Trump. That's a clear distinction between them and Democrats, and that's a clear distinction between them and many Republicans who are not for Trump, or never Trump Republicans, they're called. This text says family values. Say family values. Donald Trump. Say oxymoron. Oh boy, it is. Let me tell you something about the world I live in. And this world is, this is true for me. It's true for many people. And only when you are conscious and aware that you do something about it. We tell ourselves stories in our heads about the world and about ourselves. And then we go look out in the world for things that confirm those stories. This text says, America is not a democracy. If it was, slavery might not have been abolished. About family values and privacy, here's a clip from a recent New York Times article about Ms. Harris and her Christianity. This is the excerpt that got my attention. For about 20 years, Ms. Harris has been a member of Dr. Brown's church, a congregation established before the Civil War, where Martin Luther King Jr. once preached. The first connection between Dr. Brown and Ms. Harris was political, not spiritual. She was introduced to the pastor and civil rights activist by Willie Brown, the mayor of San Francisco at the time. I went on to advise the pastor on his campaign for a seat on the city board of supervisors in 1990s. He won. So I don't understand what is the point there. I don't understand it. I must miss something. First of all, people who getting this churchy thing mixed up with and all that about who is spiritual, who is religious, who is moral, who is not. Let me tell you something, buddy. I know that when the scripture says there is none righteous, no, not one, I know it's talking about me. Okay? So I don't live no pretense about you. I don't live no pretense about me. I don't live no pretense about us in our private lives and so forth. None whatsoever. Right? But we're talking about government here. We're talking about governance here. if we were looking for saints to be government and so forth, ain't nobody getting voted for. Nobody getting voted for. But if we're looking for people who believe in the pursuit of perfection, believe in the pursuit of decency, believe in the pursuit of better, believe in the dignity of human beings, etc., and seek to participate in that world, well, there are lots of people you could vote for. Lots of people you could vote for. And some you should never vote for. Say, Willie Brown and Oprah in relationship, and he was married. Okay. And Donald Trump and Stormy Daniel was in relationship, and she was married. And Donald Trump is your standard bearer for morality in the Republican Party. So what is your point again? What is your point again? Did she pay Willie Brown some money not to say anything about their relationship? Willie Brown was married and estranged from his wife for many years prior to that. What is your point exactly? Stop talking stupidness, man. All right? Stop talking nonsense. Don't give me this nonsense about no church. Church what? What does that have to do with anything? Donald Trump was going to church and talking Jesus when he was with Stormy Daniels? What's your point? See, but this is how we do it, you see? In order for you to elevate Donald Trump, you got to bring down Kamala Harris. Because you can't talk about Donald Trump. Why don't you just talk about him? What great values and virtues he have? Instead of trying to bring this woman down. No, I wasn't talking about no morality. You wasn't listening to the show. Don't tell me what I was talking about. I was not talking about no morality. Right? Before you mentioned Kamala Harris, I never mentioned a single word about Donald Trump's infidelity. Never did. I talked about his character in terms of the way he deals with other people. You didn't come back and talk about that with Kamala Harris. You came and went into slimy, nasty stupidness because that's what you could do. And I understand. Not a problem. This text says, family values. The Republican candidate for president has multiple affairs on his three wives found liable for sexual assault. I should stop there because that is it. See, this is where you get when you go where this person went. And that's why I never wanted to go there. There was no need to. There are more objective things about which we can talk when we deal with these matters. Because let me tell you something. If you're trying to vote for people on the basis of their fidelity or infidelity or no, on all that kind of stuff, man. I said, please, you ain't gonna go there. Say, see, excellent show. I pray that when all is said and done, Kamala becomes president of the United States and transition is a smooth one. That's about as much as anybody I get, smooth transition. So one thing that texted bring up is Democrat and Republican. What is the difference between the two? Is Republican like PLP and Democrats like FNM? Can you educate us a little bit on the differences? Another time. We talk about it tomorrow because tomorrow is election day in America. Listen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. God spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
I'm breaking out of this.